anyone were to fart on Mars, it would be Grodd's fault.
Good stuff. Good.
Wait. Hold on. Wait, what?
Okay. We are not a professional podcast. We are a group of fangirls, and we are screaming about our feelings.
Embracing myself here. I'm not entirely sure what to expect.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Ooh Travel Guide. I am your host, Black Catula, the guy who does the things and says the words. And I have a whole bunch of people joining me tonight. We have a full house here. Let us go around with a round of introductions. Speak as you will in whatever order you choose to.
All right. Once again, I think I will take the lead here. I am Renegade Pineapple, and I am glad to be back in the studio once again. This is going to be super awesome because I've always wanted to chat it up with Hoist, and now I get the chance. So let's do this.
Hey, guys. I be again. Back for another week. And if anybody could tell me a cure for twitching eyebrow, I would be so happy because this is now just getting annoying.
I laugh at your annoyance.
So I think your eyebrow is actually trying to become more structured in a naturally seductive slant. So I think this is actually evolution and work here. And can I just say that I'm honored to be a part of the observing party in this leap forward for mankind in your sexy, seductive eyebrows.
They're headed toward Ice Queen territory now.
Yeah. Wow. I should write my senior thesis on that. Sorry. Okay. I am Hoist That Rag, or just Hoist is fine. This is my very first podcast, so be gentle. I don't actually contribute to the fandom in any way, shape, or form. I do nothing constructive. I basically just stand on the sidelines and fawn over Summer Lightning and say things in capital letters and make bad puns. But yes, good to be here. Thank you, Kat.
Good bad puns.
Delectable.
And I guess that leaves me. I'm Yuri, also known as Accio Artistry. This is also my first time, and I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to try and talk, and it's very nice to be here. And I say the word and a lot. I'll stop.
Hello, yes. I am My Mind Wanders on Broken Feet, also known as the King of Feels, and I pee a lot.
Tell us more, please.
Perfect. We are talking a tsunami of urination 24/7, man.
So I'm sorry, was that screen name My Mind Wanders on a Broken Bladder, or
I predict I'm probably gonna choke on my drink.
Stop drinking.
No! My drink!
Yes. You know, I actually watched the Lich today, so I could talk about this nonsense. So can we talk about this nonsense?
Let's totally talk about this nonsense. Guys, what I don't get, to be totally serious, is why the heck did Finn blatantly ignore Bubblegum's original whole spiel of, if you take my gems, the Lich can control our minds? I mean, that's the only thing I was really thinking about the entire episode. I'm like, Finn, you idiot. Yeah, sure, Billy said to do this, but you idiot.
I think it stems from a couple of things. One, Billy said to do it, and Billy is like
Finn's his idol.
Ultimate idol, his ultimate, his god, essentially. The other fact of the matter is that in the most recent episodes to come out, Finn and Bubblegum have an extremely complicated, extremely collisionous relationship right now. Especially after Finn's outburst in the end of Burning Low.
Mm-hmm.
He flat out told her, due to a misunderstanding, that he didn't want any more of this, he was done with it, and I think he still kind of holds that grudge against her to some degree. And especially in a situation where she is actively trying to prevent him from carrying out Billy's orders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think in a way he's almost being like, you know, I've been doing what you want for so long, I'm going to go do what I want, because he's getting into his rebellious teenage boy phase. Mm-hmm. And he's also just not thinking things through, and he's trying to be the hero in the most misguided way, but he doesn't know it's misguided, and that poor baby.
It's just a whirlwind of emotions and hormones, decisions that are good and decisions that are bad, and being misled by.
Yeah, well, I mean, in reference to been becoming a young man and all this stuff, becoming more disillusioned with bubblegum, and basically just kind of, he's having all these ideas that he had before going into puberty or whatever. They're really coming down around his ears. Billy, as you were saying, is his idol, and that's come crashing down since, hey, had the wool pulled over your eyes there. Wasn't all it was knocked up to be. The chick that you had a crush on for this long, who you thought would need protection, is ending up being, you know, this mad scientist who is voyeuristically watching everybody in the kingdom with cameras and cutting off people's legs randomly. And I did think it was interesting that there's got to be a lot of symbolism behind the fact that bubblegum actually physically cuts Finn's cheek in that moment. A lot to do with the trust relationship they may have had. So even when bubblegum came running saying, no, 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 don't do it. That's the lich, you freaking jerk. What are you doing? it explains a lot as far as the fact that Finn's kind of going through his Order of the Phoenix phase, I guess. Like Harry Potter.
Yes, exactly. Don't even get me started on Finn going through an Order of the Phoenix phase. Oh, God.
Well, that's good. I feel that's an kind essay of the whole crux on. Of the thing. Nothing is as it seems is a really essential theme, I think, of the whole show, which I like. I like that a lot. I like that you have this really bright, vibrant, cartoonish, whimsical caricature of a show with that's animated so whimsically, and then there's some really dark shit in there.
Yes!
And it makes it all the more dark and morbid, I think. I love that. I love that contrast.
The contrast is just insane. It's been one of my favorite things about the show for a long, long time.
Yeah, hands down. Yeah.
I think also with this episode, like, one of the things they said, I saw a picture circulating around for the concept art for the Lich, and, like, one of the first things for his description was, like, you know, this is a really bad dude, like, don't mess with this guy. And you think that's all funny and whimsical, but then you watch the episodes with him in it, and you're like, wow, he's actually, like, a creature of your nightmares. He is terrifying. Like, I don't want to even talk about this guy. Mm-hmm. And I think that's amazing that they throw that into a kid's show, something that, you know, in a way they present it whimsically, but at the same time, like, you go home and you think about it a little bit too much, and you're like, geez, if this guy, like, actually existed, what would we do? Especially...
He got half of his face ripped off this episode.
Yeah. And, like, the whole body-snatching concept, like, that's...
I love that concept, if I may cut in. Because I don't know how... If you guys saw it when it actually aired, I get in about 2 hours later, so someone had given me the link. And I don't know why, but, like, the copy that I was watching was just... The video got messed up a little bit, and everybody knows, like, when Finn is having the dream, that you briefly see a frame of the Lich where Billy is sitting. And for some strange reason, I always chalked it up to, oh, you know, there's something wrong with the video when it was converted. But when I recently, like, saw another copy of it, and it's actually there, it's really creepy that they just put it in just for a second.
Exactly.
Yeah, that one split second, I think, might be the scariest moment in the whole episode. Because, you know, you don't catch it the first time, but then you're watching it again, and you're like, whoa, that's... really creepy.
Well, what happened when it aired is I saw there was a glitch in the video, and I'm like, that was probably something right there. That was probably a thing, but I didn't see that it was the Lich. I was like, wait, okay, this is obviously a dream, but something weird's going on. It was a great effect.
Well, talking on the darkness of the show, just in this episode, we have it starting out with a terrible nightmare involving Billy and the owl, and then we go into his hero pretty much turning out to be a false idol, or really just, you know, betrayal. And we have temptation where the Lich is offering him eternal life, like, help me and I'll give you anything that you want in the whole entire everything. And then, he pretty much puts all of his trust into, okay, you know, I'm going to help this guy. And then it turns out he was tricked yet again, and he ends up helping the Lich. And, dark episode. I like the touch on the minor touch on temptation, though.
Mm-hmm. That's a very important part of the way things play out.
Speaking of dark concepts, Now, I bet everybody here is going to hate me for saying this, but when Finn snagged the jewels off Ice King's crown, did anybody else cringe?
Oh, I was, like, gonna cry.
Highly debating on whether or not that messes Ice King up really, really bad.
I'm really curious.
I had so many problems with that moment. Like, first of all, especially after I Remember You, like, that made it especially, like, I don't have words for it. But that moment right there was just, you know, you feel so bad for the Ice King, but you're like, is he going to die because he doesn't have those jewels in his crowns? But you're also like, wow, I just saw this whole episode about him last week that, like, makes you want to feel sorry for him. And now you're drawing faces on him and making it say that he sucks hamburgers and just, oh, God, like, you don't even know what he's been through.
Yeah, it's a low blow right to the stomach to have that episode right after I Remember You.
Very uncomfortable.
On the topic of Ice King, do you guys find it interesting that we're sort of invited to compare a villain like the Lich, who's just condensed malice that we are not supposed to have any empathy for whatsoever, versus Ice King, who's also a villain, but one that we're supposed to approach very, very differently?
I was just about to introduce that, but you took the words right out of my mouth. Way more eloquently than I was going to say.
That's an English major. I make all kinds of bullcrap sound good.
This explains everything.
Yes, yes.
I think in a way, though, like, the Lich almost is a sympathetic character because you have to wonder, just like with Ice King, you know, what made him that way? He's been around for all this time, and he's like, why did he make the decision to steal people's bodies? You know, was he actually, did he make this decision, or did people do it for him and now he's kind of stuck with it? Or was there an accident? Like, I wonder about the Lich's backstory a lot and what prompted him to do this.
There's been a couple of theories floating around on Tumblr on that.
Really? Like, what?
Yeah. There was a post, I'm trying to piece it together in my head right now. Someone wondered if the Lich was a product of the Mushroom War, as opposed to, say, a cause.
Oh, I remember seeing that.
And they wondered if the Lich was a creature who could do nothing but exude pain and death, and if we are supposed to recognize that the Lich is trying to find a way to kill himself, basically, because he's tired of embodying pain and death, and if he's trying to use any means he can get his hands on, any body snatching, manipulation, you name it. To get into a universe where in which that he can die, basically.
I actually, I think I was reading either that post or a similar post, continuing on that topic about the alternate universe that Finn and Jake were transported to, about possibly that's a universe in which the Mushroom War had not happened. So maybe he brought Finn there as a way to, like, apologize for him being the last human, which I found very interesting. I don't know if it's true or not, or if I necessarily believe it, but I thought it was a very interesting point.
I don't know how much I could buy that, only because in Mortal, was it Mortal Folly or Mortal Recoil, where the Lich actually tries to kill Finn. I mean, for no real, from what I can see, I mean, even Folly. From that perspective, was that Folly? Yeah.
Yeah.
He tries to make him walk into the acid or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. To me, that says malice. That says intentionally harmful action. It's not what the Ice King, who has good intentions most of the time, but they're misguided because he's kind of selfish a lot of the time.
Sociopathic.
Exactly, yeah. Or Finn, who's also well-intentioned, but who dogs stuff up all the time. To me, that says strictly, I have no good intentions here. This is directly to harm you. And this isn't in some effort to do some greater benefit to everybody else. But I like that we're invited to compare all three of those different sort of mindsets.
Yes.
I think also he might, you know, even then you could possibly look at it from a compassionate point of view. I haven't seen that episode in a while, but maybe it's a more misguided way of doing what he theoretically could have done already. He wants to perhaps put Finn out of his misery for being the last human. You know, Finn is living in this world where...
Well, that's depressing.
Yeah, I'm not touching that. I don't know about that.
I don't know. Oh, I don't... I can't believe that.
No.
Yeah, I can see that line of thought. I think it's an interesting line of thought, definitely. I mean, if we're invited to look at Ice King and say, okay, well, there's something deeper than initial surface actions, there's something else here, then absolutely, I think it's totally valid to say we need to look a little closer at the Lich, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's the thing. We can't, based on the information that we have and the fact that he's only been explicitly shown in 1, 2, 3, 4 episodes now.
Mm-hmm.
And by explicitly, I mean not through dream sequences and things like that. But he's only actually appeared in 4 episodes, so we don't really have a very tenuous grasp on his character or his motivations or anything like that, and it's all left to speculation.
I'm just trying to remember exactly what characters, besides Princess Bubblegum, we have to go on for actual Lich story. Our knowledge of the Lich thus far, where have we gotten it exactly? Besides his actions on screen.
I think pretty much Bubblegum, and did Billy ever actually say anything about the Lich? No, that was through Bubblegum.
No, it's only
that we learned.
It's only been Bubblegum and through direct action by the Lich himself.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's really a question of what his motivations are, and I'm really hoping in the next season they use that as an opportunity to go into his backstory and bring him in as an actual character rather than just a villain or a figment of evil.
Do you guys think it may have been an element of foreshadowing, the fact that at the end of this episode here we had Finn inadvertently contributing to whatever Lich's endgame might be, but what was the episode where the bear actually brings him the Enchiridion?
In Your Footsteps.
Yeah.
I
was just about to say, like, I thought that was the stupidest episode probably in the history of Adventure Time until that last, like, 10 seconds, and I'm like, oh, shit. Like, Adventure Time, you just fucked us over all over again.
Every single time.
Yeah.
Every single time.
I like that you bring up that episode was, you didn't really like it a whole lot, you thought it was pretty dull?
Well, I mean, from the action standpoint, really it was just, you know, Finn and Jake, you know, kind of more of a perspective in their everyday non-adventure heroing life, which mm-hmm. I guess may be, like, an upside to some viewers and a downside to other viewers, because some people just tune in for the action, and when they see, like, you know, glimpses into what their just standard life is like, they think it's just a turnoff. But content-wise, until that very moment, I didn't enjoy it, but, you know, just the personal interactions between Finn and the bear and, you know, the general way he responded to Jake's, like, really weird, like, dude, you shouldn't trust this bear, he's creepy. That whole dynamic, that was really cool to watch, but from just an adventure point of view, mm-hmm. it was, you know, obviously boring. But, yeah.
I like that you bring that up, but I can't help but look at it as an English major and try to think how this is an episode where Finn's supposed to be beginning to feel more alienated from Jake, who's been kind of his bosom buddy this whole time that we've known him. And here we have this other character, this totally foreign freaking bear, come in and sort of try to take over Finn's identity. So, I mean, the identity, I think, is a huge central point in a lot of these episodes, like most of the finales even. Like the Gut Grinder, Jake is having kind of the same sort of identity issue. Like, okay, what if I really am this other thing that I don't really dig? Finn's kind of looking at this bear thinking, okay, well, what exactly am I then? I mean, if someone else can just kind of adopt this this dynamic that I have, this whatever it is I contribute. And then Mortal Folly, Mortal Recoil, we have Bubblegum, who's actually the Lich in disguise. There's another question of identity. Dad's Dungeon, more alienation from Jake, mm-hmm. with this whole, okay, exactly how much am I not really being told by the people around me? So I can definitely see how it would be boring compared to an episode like something more action-y. I can't
Dad's
think of
Dad's Dungeon.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, Dad's Dungeon was great from all perspectives. I tend to look at things more from a symbolic point, so.
No, that's yeah. a really good point, man. And here I am being a film major, and I've totally missed that. I'm embarrassed. I mean, now that you've lined it up all neatly, these little pearls for me to follow, it's clear as day. But gosh, I mean, I caught on to it in the more in-your-face episodes, especially Dad's Dungeon and whatnot. But now that I think about it, Gut Grinder, that's right there in your face, and I didn't pick up on it. But, you know, that's the wonderful thing about Adventure Time. It's got so many little nuggets in it. You really have to rewatch every single episode and not just take it at face value, because you will miss things.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, cheers, cheers.
Especially a lot of the things I'm seeing circulating right now among the fandom are extremely tiny details that you need to zoom in on an image, on a screenshot, to see.
Easter eggs.
Oh yeah, the Easter eggs run really, really, really deep in this show. and since, like, a great example is the Enchiridion itself, people have noticed that there are numbers on the back. What numbers are they is a good question.
I think it's like 1927 or something. I don't remember.
It's three numbers in the Fibonacci sequence, which if you're not familiar with it, is a naturally occurring mathematical phenomena in nature that these numbers are always repeated and they usually form a spiral, something like that.
Oh yeah. 1, 1, 2, 3, 5,
seashells.
8, 11, yeah. Something. Yeah.
Yeah.
God damn it, nature.
Anyway, yeah, tiny details. That's what has been showing up, and people have been rabidly looking for other small things like that.
Can I jump in on that?
Go ahead.
Back to the details in general, not necessarily small details, but I've seen that a lot of people have been talking about how, I think back in season 2, Finn broke his loot, and how in the alternate dimension, he has his loot again, and people are making connections between the woman calling him in the house to possibly being his mother due to, like, super crazy theories that actually sound really, really cool. I don't know if you guys have heard that those or not.
I read that one. That was,
I think that's probably the best Adventure Time headcanon I've ever heard. Somebody was saying that the woman in the castle from The Creep was probably most likely the ghost that scared everybody in the finale of that episode, and how, due to the distorted look of the figure herself, it possibly relates to, like, dying a watery death, mm-hmm. and that could possibly lead to Finn having a terrible fear of the ocean. I can't remember all the little details.
I remember where it went from there. The end game of the theory was that, like, there was some kind of tsunami or tidal wave or something that washed over wherever they were living at the time, killed Finn's mom. Something to that effect.
I remember also there was a small point about how in the creeps, when they're in the mansion, at the top of the staircase, there's a painting of a woman in a pink dress, which looks similar to the woman in the window. And at the bottom of at the bottom of that painting also there's a number, which is the same number that was on the back of the Enchiridion. So what's going on there? The world may never know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so many crazy things.
So, like, pretty much I was watching most of it, not really fully understanding it, because I've probably only seen, like, half of Adventure Time's episodes. Do not judge me. But once it got to the ends and everything came full circle, I tried to not overthink it, because everybody has been, like, since Adventure Time started, everyone has been looking at every single little tiny detail and pausing every frame and looking for every single thing. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to look at this episode as an overview. And I think the Finn and Jake that we see in the end of the episode are not the Finn and Jake that we know. I think that they are the Finn and Jake from that multiverse. I think it is a reality in which Finn still has his mother, and in which things, maybe the Mushroom War never did happen. Just because, like, first of all, we don't see, everything is pretty much completely different. And I think that if it were showing, like, after them being in the multiverse for some time, then we would have seen some sort of effect from the Lich being there. Like, I don't know. Like, it would seem weird for them to go through this portal and then all of a sudden be different on the other side and have completely different memories and faces and lives.
I think the ending of that episode reminds me of another show I've been watching recently. I got into Don't Judge Me, Once Upon a Time. The whole point of that show is that they're actually in an alternate dimension where in one dimension they were the same people in both dimensions, but when they came to the new dimension, they forgot who they were. But then there's a way that they can unlock their memories from the last dimension. So it kind of makes me wonder if this is going to be similar. Like, if Finn, he really is the Finn from the other dimension, but he just forgot about Ooh, which is really depressing.
Yeah, I'm siding with Yuri on that one. I just can't. I mean, I think that when both Finn and Jake were pulled into the portal, that they, I don't know, might have, you know, just let go of the Lich and just, you know, fall into the wayside, or they got smacked off by the Lich and into another dimension. Maybe that's why we don't see any of, you know, anything that the Lich has done to where they are. And they have just, like, you know, they have these new personas and they've just forgotten who they were.
Yeah, I think, like, essentially they're the same characters. They just don't remember being other characters, if that makes any sense. It's just some sort of curse, terrible. What is that word? Terrible.
I like it.
Terrible.
If we could, I'm sorry if this is skipping around too much, but going back to Finn's phobia of water, which I completely forgot it until you guys just reminded me just now, but I remember being really fixated on that for a long time, trying to figure out if there's a connection between a tsunami that kills his alternate dimension mom or something like that. Do you think there's some sort of connection you could draw between that fear of water, that aversion to water, and the humans in the mutant sewer or whatever it is? Yeah, because, I mean, they all have gills, right? Except, well, maybe Susan Strong does, or...
Still ambiguous.
Yeah, but... Well, I mean, thus far, those are the people that Finn has had the most, at least physically, in common with in the entire series. So the fact that they're all aquatically based has to be... Well, there's another layer of alienation there, which I think is interesting. But I have to wonder, okay, if we're getting in all interdimensional and House of Leaves type crap up here, exactly how... Could there maybe be some sort of portal down there that we're sort of drawn to think about? Or, I don't know. I think it's something worth hypothesizing about.
I think that's an interesting idea.
Yeah.
The hologram dude pops up. He explains that you can do interdimensional shit with, let's see, is a portal? There was like two other ones.
A portal and something else.
Yeah, there was, like, a permanently connected portal, a temporarily connected portal, and then an object that made a portal, I believe.
It went by really quickly. I wasn't paying attention.
Okay, consider this. Mutants, aquatically based, down there under there somewhere. And the Lich's center of destruction, or whatever it was in a submerged subway thing in the middle of the ocean, if I'm remembering that right.
He had to cross a body of water to get to the subway.
Yeah. I need to
rewatch. What was it called? It has a proper name. I don't remember what it is, though. All the maps are wonky.
I have to wonder. I have to rewatch everything and think, okay, where is a prospective portal laying around?
Got to watch this whole show in retrospect, man.
But, man, you know, that makes a lot of sense because, I mean, we have a prime example of that with Lumpy Space with a frog. Oh, my God, Hoist. You're freaking me out here. This might work.
Well, okay. All right. Wow.
Okay, so after all these good headcanons flying around, I'm just going to be the kid over here and throw in my own headcanons, because butts.
Well, hey, that's what we are. We're Headcanon Show.
Yes. Okay, so did you mention something about there possibly being a permanent portal between this ooh and the whatever world?
Considering everything else in this show, I think it's a definite possibility. You don't? Oh.
I don't, because the Enchiridion showed their universe, and it didn't show a link between that universe and another one. It had a whole map of everything, and there were a couple of universes that were connected, and Ooh was not connected to anything else.
Oh, yeah? Okay. I need to dig up a screen cap.
I mean, it might have been...
I don't think I've seen one.
I don't believe I saw a permanent connection, but I do believe that this... talking about Bubblegum for a minute, since Bubblegum watched them go through the portal, I believe this sets up for another moment for her to be the hero.
Oh.
Because I have a feeling that she wouldn't stand by and say, oh, Finn just got dragged through this portal with a Lich. I'm just going to leave him.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
No, I just like totally had a little brain blast thingy. Okay, remember when Finn put on the glasses of Nerdicon and opened up that fourth dimensional portal thingamabobber and PB was like, oh my god! Yeah, I believe that she totally wouldn't stand by and take that swap.
Yeah.
She totally sees something. She'd be like, it's science time!
Also, now that everyone's jewels have been taken, I have a feeling that maybe this could also bring Ice King in for a moment to be like, hey, my magic is kind of gone. Because nobody has their jewels, so I have a feeling that all of them are going to be a little ticked off. This could show some teamwork. Maybe they could, for whatever reason, bring in Marceline for some muscle power. Also, I don't know if necessarily they would make it to where Finn forgot everything else. I mean, it's possible, but having just done I Remember You and just telling the story of someone else forgetting, and, you know, that would kind of suck, especially, you know, for Marceline or, you know, whatever, but I think this is a moment for Bubblegum to have another hero moment, and I also think that this could be an epic battle of some sort, because we have all of these ticked off people who have had their jewels stolen, possibly crossing into another multiverse in order to fight the Lich. We have the setup for all of these people to come together to fight one ultimate evil. And I mean, that is what adventure is all about. I'm done now, and y'all can talk.
Okay.
Okay. Now how do we follow that up?
I was looking in that episode, because like the first thing I noticed, I was like, oh god, they're taking the jewels, everybody's gonna be possessed. And I did see, upon watching it a couple times, I think the jewels get left behind when they go through the portal. There's some things that drop to the ground when the portal closes, and I believe those are the jewels. I hope so. So hopefully Ice King will live. Also, I'm getting more and more sympathetic to the Lich the more that I think about it, because, okay, so aquatic humans, what if that is an evolutionary trait because of the magic or the radiation in the air is making it unsafe for them to live breathing air, thus they go underground and live in the water, which is less radioactive. Finn is the last human, and the Lich is trying to get him out of that situation because he wants Finn to live. Somehow Susan Strong is left over, but he doesn't really notice her because she's assimilated into the humans. And I don't know. Darwinism, evolution, that's my... I like the Lich now. I can't. I like good villains.
I think there's a lot in Adventure Time to offer good villains. Would you say that you like the Lich more than Marceline's dad, maybe?
I think so, because, like, Marceline's dad, honestly, is just kind of a jerk. Mm-hmm. And you see where he's coming from very easily. But with the Lich, there's kind of this element of, what is he doing? Like, why is he here? And I feel like he has a very tragic backstory, honestly. We just don't know it yet. Or at least I want him to.
I think it's more you want him to.
Don't crush my dreams.
I'm not crushing your dreams. I'm just saying.
Yeah. It's crazy awesome. I just keep thinking back to, like, we haven't seen Marceline and her reaction to the Lich. Because, I mean, come on, you've been around for 1,000 years. And if the Lich is as big and as bad as everyone says he is, she's bound to have heard of him at some point in time or another. And I want to really know what her reaction is to him. Because if it's like, oh my god, it's you, how come, you know, who let you out of your box type thing, that's simple, you know? But if it's like, no, I've never seen this guy before, I don't know how to, you know, help you guys, that's...
Yeah, could very well be.
I wonder if the Lich can possess Marceline, because technically she's not alive.
I don't know. I mean, what are the rules for necromancy under that?
I don't know, because she's...
Category.
She's already a soul in a dead body, which is what the Lich would be. I don't know if he has to... That would be a good thing to look up.
That would be so complicated. What happens if they did a body swap? Oh, God, no. Headcanon, wait, stop.
I can see the fan fiction now.
Oh, God. Someone's already planning to write it. Thanks.
I'm sorry. I soiled it. Shut up.
Soiled it. Okay. So, I don't believe that the Lich could possess Marceline, because she is occupying that body, and I don't think he can just knock her out. I mean, I'm not sure. Also, I have a feeling that if Marceline has heard of the Lich, I'm sure that the Lich has also heard of Marceline. I mean, she is widely known, and I have a feeling there's probably a reason they're staying away from each other. I have a feeling that the Lich has heard of Marceline. I have a feeling that Marceline has heard of the Lich, and they keep their distance. I mean, it may just be because they've both heard that each other are badass mamajamas. But I don't think necessarily that the Lich has a tragic background. I think, honestly, I mean, they've done so many sad backstories and sad things that, I mean, it's very possible. But I think maybe if there is any sort of tragedy to his story, it is no greater than what we've seen before, and it is no greater than what a normal human would have experienced, or person or thing or whatever the Lich may have been in the past. But he seems manipulative, definitely, and maybe, like, he just seems like this isn't a feeling that he's always felt. I feel like slowly over a long course of time, he became corrupted and became the bad person that he is, and I don't think that there's anything left of him that could be, like, there's still parts of Ice King left that are Simon. But I don't think there is a way to... I don't think there is anything left of the Lich that could possibly be good. Like, so I think that maybe the Lich is not... If the Lich gets a tragic background, it is not going to be any greater than what we've seen in the past. And if the Lich does get a tragic background, it's pretty much just going to be, like, he became corrupted somehow. I mean, I know a little bit about necromancy, but I don't know a lot about these liches. Liches.
Can I jump on the tail end of that for a second, or does someone else want to say something?
I just have one comment, but it's very quick. But I just want the Lich to be my new Voldemort. That's all I want.
You would.
As I was saying with back to the Lich and Marceline, that's a really, really good point, Holland. What if... what are the extents of the Lich's powers? Do we know? Has he really displayed any significant traits?
He's badass.
Fire.
Terrifying.
Big green
fires. I mean, because I'm wondering, if he has the ability to raise the dead, that puts him on par with Marceline, because she can do that too, and that would be a perfectly good excuse for them not to interact with each other, because they're probably, I wouldn't say who knows if they're on the same level with each other or not, but they... could fight fire with fire, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. What do you make of that compared to bubblegum zombification type thing? You think that's an interesting type factor there? Well, in that, okay, we have Marceline who can do necromancy type stuff. The Lich who can do necromancy type stuff. The fact that bubblegum seems keen on doing that too, dabbling in death. Do you think that's an interesting sort of, we're seeing a sort of slippery slope in action?
God, Adventure Time, you're messing up my head.
I think it's... You have to look at the different methods, because, like, Marceline and the Lich achieved their whatever dead meddling things by magic, I assume, for the Lich. But Bubblegum really goes about it by a more scientific, classic zombie way of doing it. So I think that possibly has different moral implications. Science seems a little bit more cold to me, while magic seems more emotionally involved. So I think... I'm not sure exactly where that leads.
Well, I think that's a good point. I mean, the only scene I can recall that Marceline's manipulating dead is when she's going to, like, have a party or something. So, I mean, that seems there's much less evil connotation there with her, whatever she's doing with it.
I'm not saying that they're both evil, but I'm just saying that power-wise, they may be matched. Maybe.
You know, talking about necromancy, since, I mean, knowing Adventure Time, this could just go in any way possible. I mean, what if, you know, the Lich is just Marceline's Goliath, pretty much? What if the Lich is something that she raised and then couldn't handle it? Like, she just put that extra little oomph that kind of just...
Oh, God. Can I please turn this into a sugarless gum headcanon?
Oh, God, no.
The Lich is their precious little baby.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Come on. Come on.
Is it bad that... Oh, God.
No.
The chat. No. I swear to God, I read it as, what if the Lich was Marceline's mother? And I was like, Marcy, I am your mother. And Marcy was, no.
Okay. So no, seriously though. Marceline is known as one of the most powerful creatures in U. So what if she raised the Lich? You know, she was messing with necromancy, and what if she just, she created this pure form of evil, and it just got too out of hand, and maybe she even tried to destroy it, thought it was gone, and it came back. And maybe she doesn't know it's back, or maybe, you know, she thought, well, maybe if I just hope for the best, it'll go away. But it obviously hasn't gone away. Maybe she has created the embodiment of evil.
Wow.
That would be really, really, really insane.
That would be fantastic, but that actually fits with her character so well. I mean, she tries to do these really good things, and who knows, what happens if she wanted to, like, impress somebody, and oh god, this is perfect. Wow. I'm totally accepting this as a viable headcanon.
Maybe she was just trying to impress her father.
Yeah,
maybe, like,
yeah, exactly.
Maybe she had one shot that she, like, her last final attempt to make it by appealing to him. And then stuff.
It just occurred to me that Marceline, if she did hypothetically create the Lich, which I don't know how much I could get on board with that. But we also have Bubblegum, who's creating other things that go wrong. Lemon Grab, the zombies, Goliad. But Finn also makes Nectar, and he's a shitty creator. I'm sorry. I love Finn. Finn is like my ideal type of protagonist, endlessly enthusiastic, full of piss and vinegar, but he's a shitty creator. I mean, he's horrible. He just makes Nectar and just kind of tosses him, whereas Bubblegum makes Lemon Grab and still feels some sort of accountability. So as far as creating an evil like the Lich, I'm not sure if that would be very cohesive, considering the rest of the show and what else we've been shown.
I don't think he was necessarily created as evil as he is, but it was something that he sort of spiraled into, regardless of his origins. But I'm not sure if he was originally intended to be this evil. No matter what it was, it probably got out of hand.
As I understand it, a Lich is someone who willingly gives up some really super crucial part of themselves in order to avoid death. So it is, from what I understand at least, it's a conscious decision. Not as conscious as, or more conscious than Ice King's or Simon's would have been. As I understand it, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I agree with Hoist on that. That's exactly what the requirements are. So I as much as I want to say I believe in the other stuff, I don't know, man. It probably could have started as an accident. I mean, he could have legit been, like, a Lich, and then stuff happened, and then if you wanted to go with the Marceline headcanon, I mean, I'm pretty sure for the loophole, you could make that work. But, yeah, I don't know.
It may also have been a decision that he didn't really realize the full gravity of. Like, he didn't realize that, oh, crap, it's actually going to be this. I thought it wouldn't be this bad. Or maybe he didn't realize what he was actually trading in. Or the more and more power he used, the more and more of himself he had to give away. And it's possibly like a drug where once you start, you just can't stop.
Oh, who just posted that awesome thing in the chat?
That would be Holland.
Holland, you are my new best friend. Oh my god. Okay, so I've been thinking about that forever, about whether Marceline's father was actually her father. Because I, for some reason, I kept thinking that maybe stepdad type thing. You know, a strange second parent type relation thing. I don't know.
Well, I mean, some people have said that Marceline is just half demon and half human, which doesn't make sense to me because she wouldn't come out as a vampire. but I think I'm just going to go full out freaking headcanon right now because I've thought way too much today. So I'm going to put all of this thinking into Adventure Time. But to just have a totally way out there headcanon, what if the Lich is actually Marceline tried to bring back her real dad? And when it didn't work out quite well, she tried to kill him. He didn't want to go, made this conscious decision to become the Lich. And, you know, maybe thought, well, here we go, you know, let's just...
I'm...
Wow.
I have no words.
I kind of sort of wondered that at one point in time, not as directly as you, but the Lich doesn't really have fangs, so I'm like, But, yeah, that did cross my mind for, like, 2 seconds, but...
She could have got the fangs from her mother.
That's true.
Also,
that's true.
there's a possibility that Marceline didn't become a vampire until later in life, because in some of the earlier frames of her, she doesn't have the bite marks on her neck.
This is true.
Mm, yeah.
That. If she stopped aging at 18 when she became a vampire, never know.
Some people say that maybe she became a vampire during the Great Mushroom War. Maybe that her father, which is the father that we know, turned her in some way during the Great Mushroom War in order to save her. But I think it'd be really interesting if her real dad was the Lich, like his soul. Maybe, you know, he made this decision in order to think, I could stay with her forever if I made this deal. And I think maybe if Ben would have made that deal with him in this episode, that maybe he would have become a Lich himself. And I think maybe that's why he's preying on Finn, being a predator to Finn, because he is a human and humans like him. He already showed his gullibleness by filling the Enchiridion with the gems. So what if he could get him to make another deal to transform himself into a Lich? And soon we just have two Liches.
What sort of incentive would be there for Finn to do that, do you think?
Well, it's just like the Lich already showed that he could be fooled. Actually, he's proven to be fooled a couple of times. And the Lich said, like, I could offer you immortal life. I could offer you this. I could offer you that. And I think, honestly, if he would have stayed Billy just a little longer, if he would have waited, Finn might have revealed some sort of secret to him. Like, I would give anything to be able to be around Flame Princess and not be burned. Or I would give anything to do this or do that. And the Lich would have had his moment to say, you know, maybe I can help you with that. And Finn would have been like, okay, Billy, sure, I'll do anything. And Finn would have unknowingly maybe agreed to be a Lich.
Wow. Shit just got real.
Also, like, wow. motivations for immortality for Finn. I think also he's surrounded by all these friends of his that have such longevity, like Marceline and, you know, God knows how long PB's been around, and Flame Princess and all these other friends that he's made that are going to live a lot longer than a human. That may also be another motivating factor for his more heroic side of wanting to live forever. He doesn't want to leave his friends behind.
I'm impressed with you all. I'm just so impressed with you all.
I know, so I'm just like, I'm going to sit here and just shut my mouth because I just, wow, I'm done. This is fantastic.
By the way, this actually, this whole entire conversation that we've been having goes along really, really well with an ask that we received specifically for this podcast, which I'm posting in the chat right now. Tumblr user Guess What Time It Is asked us, not really a specific question, but more general, how do you think fan fiction will change because of all this new background information? And I think we've been answering that in quite some detail for the last, I don't know, half an hour.
Well, I know personally for me, it's thrown me for a loop, and I've thrown my pen across the room so many times, I'm just like, I'm just going to not write anything until I get my shit together, because I am just so done, it's not even funny.
You don't even have time to get your shit together because it's 3 weeks and there's going to be a new episode. 2 weeks
now. Yeah, exactly. So I'm just like, I'm going to sit in the corner and cry and just, yeah, pretty much.
I think I have to just go back and watch every episode with, like, a magnifying glass and, like, super slow motion and see.
Yeah.
And then make, like, I have a board in my room and I'm just going to have to, you know, put, like, just dot it with, like, index cards. This happened here, and it's connected with this string to this event, and this, and this, and that, and that, and I'm gonna run out of index cards really soon.
You're just gonna go nuts. I think that's the whole point. I think this is the ultimate troll, just to get us all to go insane.
Yes! Yes, they're so good at this. They're so good at, like, you know, giving us this show that's all nice, and, you know, you think it's a regular show, like we said earlier in the podcast, and then it's like, oh! It's now just really, really dark and really, really scary. And it's talking about things that you normally wouldn't see in, you know, a children's show.
Exactly.
Yeah. Pineapple said, it's a kid's show, they said.
The fun will never end, they said.
Come on, grab your friends, they said.
Yeah. I don't want to invite my friends to this.
Come on, grab your friends and jump into the pits of hell.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Grab your friends. You'll have a bigger puddle of tears.
Yes. Yes.
Can I ask, Is anybody else crossing their fingers for if we're doing a bunch of multidimensional skipping or whatever? Is anyone else crossing their fingers for Fiona and Cake?
I think that's how they're going to reintroduce the new episode. I think Finn and Jake are going to be forced to go through lots of different worlds, and they're eventually going to end up in Awe. I mean, I think that's a logical way to do it.
A lot of people have been sharing that theory, and I think that's one thing that I wondered too at the beginning. Like, is season 5 going to involve them doing like quantum leap? You know, just leaping across dimension after dimension, blah blah blah. I wondered if that was going to be the case.
It seems convenient, and I also want to say it's too easy, and I feel like I'm saying that a lot, but Adventure Time is, like, always raising the bar, but I think I'm going nuts just analyzing everything, because it just all seems too easy. It's all a trap. It's a trap, I tell you!
I think also, like, the fact that they're... Because we've had, what, four or five seasons now, I can't even keep track anymore, of them, you know, being in Ooh and having these adventures, and it's not getting repetitive necessarily, but it's just a lot of adventures in Ooh. And I think that by possibly having them dimension hop would be a very interesting way to really mix it up without doing too much of a deus ex machina. So I think that, you know, it makes sense to really break up the show and bring in a new element without straying away from its original concept and still in a way that makes sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think is the original concept? What do you think is the central message, I guess, that involving multidimensional travel will kind of complicate?
Well, I think originally it was just, and this goes back to what we were talking about earlier, the show, like, itself just goes, you know, it starts off with this kid who's 12 years old, and he has a dog, and he goes on adventures, and, you know, it's a lot more than that, but at the same time, at the heart of it, that's what the show started out as, and it was all fun and innocent and happy and puppies and rainicorns and princesses and woohoo, and now you're really getting into, like, this darker, heavier stuff, and the world itself wasn't exactly keeping up with the concepts they were trying to introduce. So I think for the show to move forward, they need to expand onto a larger setting, or settings, as the case may be.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
I think since Finn is growing up, he needs his world to expand with him. He's not a baby anymore. He's a big kid now.
He is a big kid now.
I think that the dimension hopping would be very interesting. I think it would be really, really, really great if it did end up being Bubblegum and Marceline and maybe somebody else going into the dimension to find them, and we had another What Was Missing going on, because I would just lay down and die. I think that this episode actually sets up a lot for fan fiction writers, because to answer the question finally... But I think this sets up a lot for fan fiction writers, because we have no idea what season 5 has in store for us. And we have no idea, like, this could go this way, this way, this way. And there are so many headcanons right now. I mean, like, paragraphs and paragraphs and paragraphs about this, like, this 11 minutes of show. And I think really, as soon as season 5 starts, there's going to be a lot of fan fiction floating around of just, like, this other dimension, of course, this multiverse. I think there's going to be some fan fiction about what it's like over there. And I think there's going to be some fan fiction about, if they don't show it, you know, what it's like for Bubblegum right now. Like, she just watched them be thrown into this portal with the Lich. She doesn't know if they're alive. She doesn't know if they're okay. She doesn't know if, you know, their brains have been scrambled into eggs.
Like, or they're dead.
Or they're dead and their brains are scrambled into eggs. I mean, they could be full force omelet over there.
I'm hungry now.
Like, I honestly think that any of the writers, or even any of the people writing headcanons, people doing art, anybody in the fandom pretty much right now feels like Bubblegum. She doesn't know what's happening to them. She doesn't know what's going on. And even seeing this multiverse and seeing Finn with the nose and Pooh Brain Jake, we still don't know any more than her. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be really interesting to see what she does and what everyone else does. And it's going to be really interesting to see how they try and save Finn and Jake, and hopefully we get to see Marceline again in this heroic battle, because
Us sugarless gum shippers need more than cake sitting on a counter to analyze.
That's just perfect. Can we end the podcast right there? Because that's a perfect end of line.
I think also, just on a very small note, something you said about, you know, this 11-minute episode. The other day, my roommate came up to me and she was like, Adventure Time episodes are only 11 minutes long. How do you, you know, follow a show that's only 11 minutes? That's so disappointing. And I'm just sitting there thinking, like, if it was longer than that, my brain would explode with the amount of information that they're giving me. I don't think we could handle it if the episodes were longer than they were.
The great thing about the 11-minute format is that every Adventure Time episode in itself tries to be one single story. Like when you gather around to tell stories on Skype with friends from Tumblr, you only tell like one story. You tell the important parts of what happened. You tell people what you felt, the thing they said that was funny. And that's what Adventure Time excels at. It excels overall at just telling that one story about that one part of what happened on that one trip that you had.
It's very succinct.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Which is great for those of us who have very short attention spans. Mm-hmm.
Precisely. Okay. All right. Do we want to try answering any of these remaining questions? We've already got a substantial amount of material recorded here. We've actually touched on pretty much everything that's been mentioned in all of these asks.
The one thing that I was like screaming about that we didn't really touch on was, what is up with Princess Bubblegum cutting off candy people's legs? What
yes.
is up with that? Science, motherfucker!
What is she doing?
Science, motherfucker.
Poor Kay.
Straight face, too. Just like snip.
Yeah, and she like pastes them on to other parts of their bodies. And what is she doing?
Hold on.
The thing that I can't decide what's scarier is Bubblegum's straight face scarier? Or is the candy people's straight face scarier? Because, like, his legs get cut off and he's just like, hi!
Yeah, I think that was a little more off-putting.
Is it maybe because that candy person doesn't feel pain?
Yeah, what are we... Were they actually candy people?
I think it's safe to assume that everything in the Candy Kingdom is candy-related in some way, shape, or form.
True.
They look like jelly forms because... Common sense, you can't really do that with a hard candy, so...
That's
a really good
point. Remember those things in Fiona and Cake when they're kicking the candy things onto the ceiling?
Jelly Kinders.
Are they similar things to that? I think they're the same things.
They're similar.
I
pictured them as, like, dinner mints or something like that.
I don't think they felt any pain. I mean, obviously, they got their legs cut off and reattached, and I do think that they're some sort of gummy something. I wonder if it's actually something maybe that she created, some sort of something maybe she could either add to her own DNA or maybe something where she's trying at Goliad again, because she doesn't seem like the kind of person to say, oh, I failed at this, I'm going to give up and never try again. Also... Can we just talk about how Finn bursts through her ceiling, like this huge explosion happens, and she just goes, who's there? Like someone just knocked on the door. Like he just dropped through your damn ceiling, and you just go, ah, who's there?
I think also, directly after that part, there's the very important moment, at least to me, where she cuts his cheek with the scissors, and he literally, like, recoils and hisses at her, and he wasn't like, oh, princess, why'd you do that? He was like, oh my god, he looked almost feral for a minute, and that was a really scary part of the episode. Like, I, for a second, thought that maybe the lich had even gotten inside of him somehow, and that was why he had that reaction. It really, that moment freaked me out a lot, too.
Wow. Can I ask, what did you think of kind of that impassivity that Bubblegum had when she was doing whatever, mutilating her, doing human centipede type shit with the gummy things? Well, that compared to the fact that right after she cuts Finn's cheek, she says that was an accident. Was that convincing to you?
To me, it really didn't. She still had that straight face, and I don't think she would have said that if he wasn't, like, hissing at her and he looked like he was going to attack her. It was really, I don't know, I would have said it was an accident, but I really don't think that she regrets it that much. I mean, they've been at odds for so many episodes.
Can we point out that A, they're safety scissors, and B, he attacks her first, and if you were to assume with all the crap that she has to go through on a daily basis with being kidnapped by random people, being possessed by the lich, I mean, whether it was an accident or not, I don't really think you can blame her actions with being directly attacked. I mean, especially, I mean, on top of everything, yeah, their relationship going down the pooper probably doesn't help. And I think that's the reason why he hissed at her, because maybe he assumed it was a personal attack. But I don't know. That was a just really traumatizing part of the episode. I'd probably put that on par with the whole Ice Queen gumball disguise thing and creepiness and disturbingness for me, because that was legit. Like, dude, you did not just do that. Like, that was heavy stuff.
Yeah, I thought that I honestly thought the Lich was possessing him for a second. Like, that's how scared I was of his behavior. It just really freaked me out. It's so out of character for him.
I think to wonder is, like, have Finn and Bubblegum have had any interaction since the events of Burning Low? I mean, did they just leave on that sour note? And because I can't think of any other scene that they actually had together after Burning Low.
Well, I don't think so.
I think Princess Cookie.
Was that after Burning Low, or?
I want to say so. I think maybe not.
I don't know.
Is it safe to say that the order we're seeing the Adventure Time episodes in is actually like chronological time in actual, you know, Adventure Time? Because we all know that there's backstory and stuff goes on behind closed doors, you know.
Yeah, and sometimes they're shown out of production order, too.
Exactly, because, well, that also has no... Yeah, you can't really choose what gets put on air, but, yeah.
Yeah, it's something like that, yeah.
Personally, if someone busted through my ceiling and tried to grab my very important jewel that could cause the Lich to kill everybody, I would cut him with safety scissors, too. I mean, plus, of course, everybody talks about how she was just traumatized in the Lady in Peebles episode, and she's pretty much, she's done. She is not having any of your grub today. So, like, that, and I think that, honestly, Finn was so pumped up, and you can see that he's running through everything, and then he's just crashes through the ceiling, jumps forward to grab this, and she cuts him, and he's still got all of this energy pent up. Like, a lot of times they say that if a dog has too much pent-up energy, they become aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, humans can even, if they're really into the moment, they can just, you know, they cannot realize what they're doing. And I think after she cut him, he just kind of bounced back like, what? And then I think they both kind of realized what happened, but still, both of them were still like she kind of, She said it was an accident, but really she kind of felt like, you kind of deserve that. And he kind of felt like, wow, I was being really, you know, I pretty much just attacked her, but he was still like, I need that gem. I need to help Billy. And I think both of them in the moment were like, I'm sorry for what I did, but at the same time, I'm in this situation and I need to finish this. And touching back on her, like, sadism against the cute little things. It really was just science, and I don't think she would have done it unless she would have known that it wasn't going to hurt them. And they really didn't seem to care. Like, he just became a little wheel and just...
Whee!
And like I said, maybe it's something that she created, some sort of material that she put together in order to... you know, either mix it with her own DNA, the candy people DNA, the anything. Like, you know, she would be smart enough to do that.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's disputing that Bubblegum was justified in cutting Finn. I mean, I certainly would have done it. I mean, just out of reflex, if nothing else.
But I think, fucking ceiling.
But I think the really underlying point of that scene was the fact that here's this really shocking moment where we're thinking, what the fuck is she doing with cutting people up and stuff? The fact that that immediately is followed by this moment with Finn where she's kind of symbolically severing a bond between them. I think it's not so much that we're supposed to look at Bubblegum as a bad guy, but we're supposed to see her as being much, much, much more complex than you would think someone named Princess Bubblegum would be. Slowly over the progression of the whole series, she's become much more... less of a damsel in distress, less of this saccharine, candy, confection, whatever you want to call it. And more of this, what are you doing? This is some deep, weird Jeffrey Dahmer type crap here. Whereas we have other characters like Ice King and Marceline, initially very negative, progressively becoming more sympathetic. There's a lot more to them. So, I mean, we're supposed to be kind of on par with Finn as far as having her perceptions changed about these characters.
I think you're right. She has been growing a lot more apathetic lately.
Mm-hmm.
She's showing that she cares a little bit less in every episode about what happens to the other people involved, as long as the mm-hmm. greater good is saved, as she showed in Burning Woe.
Mm-hmm.
Her interest was not in saving Finn and Flame Princess or any one particular one of them, but her interest was in saving the country, the world, the land, whatever you want to call it, as a whole.
You know, an episode that bothered me about that was You Made Me, where she's willing to barter some of her citizens for... Mm-hmm. I think that's an excellent point you bring up.
I think it's going to be scary to see what happens with her next. If she keeps going down this road, and it looks like that's what she's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's been said before, like Holland was saying, like everybody's been saying, she's been through a lot of crap in the last four seasons. And mm-hmm. each season, it gets progressively more intense for her. I mean, hell, she died. You know, she was dropped into the pool of acid. They tried to reconstruct her. Then she got possessed. Then they tried to reconstruct her again after she got frozen and shattered. And then she was 13 for a while.
Bubblegum has seen some shit.
She has yep. seen some shit. She's 18. She has seen some shit.
She's probably like 20 now. Isn't she? If Finn is 14?
Yeah, actually, I guess she would be.
I think also along that vein, like, it goes along with Finn growing up, and, you know, it's not all Candy Princesses and Adventures with Your Dog anymore. Like, she's growing as a character as well, and I think she's either becoming darker or more complex. You know, she's not just, as everybody's been saying, she's not just a Candy Princess, and I think everything around Finn is reflecting the fact that he's not a kid anymore.
I think that's absolutely right. Yeah, Adventure Time's just getting more and more intense, and it is pushing far beyond the boundaries of whatever a kid's show is and should be and will be forevermore.
Yeah, I think Finn's just coming to the point in his life where he's growing up. You know, he's not a kid anymore. He's coming into an actually, quote-unquote, serious romantic relationship with Flame Princess. He's, you know, he's not just doing all these kiddie things anymore, and you're learning more backstory about all of his friends. They're all evolving as characters. And I think this is all kind of happening at a time where it's, you know, he's 14 and his life is growing up and it's all colliding and it's all crashing down on him at once. And he literally escaped from the world where his life was changing completely. So I'm not sure exactly what that means, but, you know, sometimes in that time in your life, you want a quote unquote escape. And he literally did escape. I don't know how to phrase it better than that.
Worked for me.
What's the episode where he talks about getting all soul searching and weird?
That's Susan Strong.
Yeah, okay.
Because he gets, every once in a while, he gets to the point where it's like, you know, he is the last human in the world. And when you actually stop and think about that, even if you're only 13 years old, you start to think that, and you're like, I'm just going to get all soul searchy for a while. Because I have no idea what this is going to mean for my future.
Yeah.
And I think he's also getting to that age where he's going to start trying to act older than he is to prove that he's, you know, he doesn't want to be treated like a kid anymore, and he's going to start looking for these more adult-type things, I think.
Yeah. All right. We've actually gone on for quite a very long time with this podcast.
Yes.
There's still going to be 2 weeks before we get a new episode, so I think we should probably stop here for right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, I guess it doesn't hurt to have an extra long podcast to keep people tied over, right?
Well, yeah, and then we're going to do another one next week, even though there's no new episode to talk about. There's going to be plenty of other material we can still delve right into. Let's cut it short here, and we'll return to answering questions, because there's a couple still good ones that we did not touch upon sitting in the inbox, and I want to take a look. All right,
folks, I'm out.
I'll sign off. This is Yuri signing off. Thank you for having me. It was fantastic and fun and amazing, and I want to do this again at some point if you'll have me. Thank you for everything. So, yes, signing off.
Once again, fun times all around. I wish I had more to say, but people kept stealing their ideas and then just, you know, injecting them with more awesome, and I just felt like, well, maybe next time. All right, then. Ciao.
Okay. This is My Mind Wanders on Broken Feet saying, la-da-da-da-da, it's time to say goodnight. La da 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 da, so long and goodbye.
I think I'm just gonna cry over here.
And this is Renegade Pineapple signing off. Sorry for my incoherency this evening. And another goddamn car drives by. Oh, I tried so hard.
La- Pineapple tried, la da da da, and then she fucking died.
Oh, God. Oh, I feel like she's fine. Sorry.
The stars to show your participation. Meanwhile, fuck, yeah, ha.